Welcome to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship as conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. This podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do, everyone. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have absolutely fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America, using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to their website at T&K hunting.com. That's T&K hunting.com. Or you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Don't forget to leave a review from T&K and the Soulful Hunter. Freedom on and stay soulful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. We are joined tonight by a co-host, Tony Ellersick.
Hello.
Say what's up, Two Shot.
What's up?
And this podcast is dedicated to recording video of your hunts and taking photography in the field of your hunts and your quarry and all that stuff. And our guest tonight is the commander himself, Clint Easley of Revel Entertainment.
We're here.
Welcome.
We almost need an establishing piece of why you guys call me the commander.
Yeah, because you're really good at commanding things.
Yeah. When he tells you to do something, you do it. And there's no questions asked. The commander.
Yeah, because a good photographer needs to get his subjects in place to take good pictures.
True.
And if they don't have a voice to command people. Also, your name's Clint, and there's something about commanding Clint, just like it goes hand in hand. So,
like okay. Two-Shot Tony.
Yeah, the almighty and powerful Commander Clint. So, all right, let's get into this podcast. We're going to keep it relatively brief without skipping over anything. We're sitting here talking about, so I've known you for, what is it, like 6 months now? No, 8 months.
It's been a very accelerated relationship, and 6 months does sound, yes,
Go from meeting you to sharing a hotel room at the Western Hunt Expo to all of a sudden saying, hey, I got an idea. Let's collaborate.
And I have to admit, we have to give Jana Waller credit because she and I were talking on the phone and she said, I got this great guy in Washington, happens to be an hour away from me. She's like, you need to contact Johnny Mack. You're going to be bros. So I said, all right. I hung up the phone. I immediately text Johnny and it was one of those, like, from there, we just started texting back and forth. Hey, bro, yeah, cool. You like hunting, whatever. Let's get together. And then we just hit it off after that and went on a predator hunt.
You could almost say it was a soulful connection.
Jana, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jana.
Jana's a champ. All right. So let's dive into this. Clint, what's your experience? Tell the listeners who you are, where you're from, your background, all that, and then why you are credited for talking about videography and photography.
Got it. So my name is obviously Clint Easley. This is my 11th year working, filming, photographing in the outdoor industry. I've produced for, I think this is my fourth year producing for television, and I just kind of fell into it. I went on a hike one day, met a gentleman named Freddie Hartice on a hike, and I would say I was actually headed up there to do some headshots for a buddy of mine, and they were building a prayer box on top of this cool mountain in Hollywood. It's called Runyon Canyon. So from Runyon Canyon, when we got to the top, I see these guys carrying bags of concrete on their shoulders. And I was like, okay, bags of concrete, that's different, especially in Hollywood. What are you guys doing? You mind? I have my camera in hand. You mind if I take some pictures? Because that's the first thing the guy with the camera wants to do. And in documenting that, it led into me giving Freddie my email address. He sends me an email asking how the pictures turned out. And I'm just kind of saying this rapidly so people can catch up quickly. So he emails me, give him the pictures, and in the bottom of his email signature, it says HollywoodHunter.com. So I was like, okay, what's this all about? So I literally go onto his website, and there's this guy holding this huge mule deer buck. And living in California, you're like, you don't have any hunters in
Where
California.
Where did that come from? Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least it catches you off guard when you do meet another hunter. So I told Freddie, I was like, can we go to lunch and let me pick your brain a little bit and just learn a little bit more about you and what it is you do exactly. So from that, I found the most masculine spot, good barbecue joint, center of Hollywood.
So smart.
We go to lunch, and he says he's starting a hunting show. And apparently he had about a season's worth of content filmed already, but he had a camera guy that was getting out of the business. My pictures were just very mediocre at the time, so I was just getting into the camera phase, had never done videography in my life. He had one of his camera guys that was getting out was going to sell the camera, connected me with that guy. So I took the liberty to decide to go, call this guy, flew out to Oklahoma, bought his camera from him, and he taught me in 2 days how to set up a camera on a tree arm, took me to a exotic game ranch because he was a game warden by day and then filmed a lot of stuff. He was one of the pioneers in the outdoor world. His name is Tom Cartwright.
Shout out to Tom.
Shout out to Tom.
Good old Tom.
So I come back and I go knocking on Freddie's door, and I was like, Freddie, about that video opportunity or some photo gigs, whatever, to get my foot in the door, are you still interested? And he's like, well, I don't know if I could say no now that you got the camera. So it kind of just rippled into that. I had an architecture degree as a background in Hollywood, so did lots of fun projects designing homes and doing things like that. From there, he would give me kind of some seasonal work. Hey, can you come film for elk season, for deer season? And it came to kind of a heavy imbalance of, am I going to prioritize architecture or am I going to prioritize hunting? So Jules and I had the conversation of at what point do you cross the line and say, all right, I'm going to turn in my entire education. I'm still paying for this college degree, right?
Wow. But I'm all in.
But I'm all in, and I loved it. And I just grew up real casually, so some of my hunting background, hunted with my father once a year, did the deer, threw it in the freezer, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
So getting the opportunity to go and film and be a part of a show and being a part of the outdoor industry, I was like, this is a dream come true. So Jules just kind of pushed me out there. She's like, hey, I'll support you whatever you want to do and get after it. And that's pretty much the rest is history.
So here you are. You've been in the industry for 11 years, you said?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And you've been filming specifically for the TV show Hollywood Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That is now called The Maverick.
Yes.
But you're branching out.
Mm-hmm.
And you are diving into a whole lot of new things. You filmed for all sorts of different companies and
yes,
not just a
freelancing
TV show, but a lot of freelance work.
Yep, yep. And I have to give Freddie a big shout out because he's helped me build a fantastic bridge in the outdoor industry. And I know we had multiple conversations of, at some point, I want to take all of this great education I've learned and I need to spread my wings and I want to start my own company. So January of 2020, I launched Revel Entertainment, prime time COVID. Exactly when you want to start a
wow.
company, right? So we got that rolling, and things kind of started out really slow to just get a feel for it, trying to get some things established. And then it was, I think, June, I got a call out of the blue for a gig that took off in July, and then it was like call after call after call, and I've been booked through February since. So you kind of have to just take some of these risks. I did it with jumping in with the Hollywood Hunter series and then jumping into Revel. So I didn't lose that experience of already taking the risk previously. And doing that, I was like, all right, we're just going to go for it again.
Right.
And it's worked out great. I met you guys along the way. We've been doing some fun collaborations.
We're just starting our journey that is going to blow the top off the hunting world.
Absolutely.
A lot of good things. But enough about us. That's going to be another podcast here
okay.
coming up.
Okay.
I want to dive into, because ever since I started an Instagram account with Tony mm-hmm. about posting pictures for hunting,
mm-hmm.
I think, number one, everyone has a cell phone. So it's not like you're doing the whole disposable cameras nowadays. We're not going to – cell phones are super high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have a lot of people that are starting to carry actual cameras in the field.
Sure.
And there's also filming. Self-filming and being able to show it to your kids, your family, what you guys are doing – super important. So I want to cover three topics in this for all the listeners. One is filming and taking pictures with a cell phone. One is taking pictures in the field. And then those kind of can go hand in hand. And then the other is videography. Like, what is it that, as far as when you're videoing hunts, what makes it special?
Gotcha.
Or how do you, because anyone can actually turn the camera around on themselves. But what is it that really makes something pop?
Gotcha. From the video side?
Yeah, from the video side, because obviously you want to tell the story of the hunt.
Sure.
And thinking about memories and what you want to capture to reveal the memories of this hunt.
Gotcha. Well, starting with the iPhone factor. So iPhone, first off, I highly recommend anybody that's getting into the outdoor industry or just wanting to document anything in general. We have the capability of having these really nice high-tech cell phones these days, so we're not going back to where you got the flip phone. iPhones have really nice quality, and half of them are shooting in 4K now. So, first of all, shoot horizontal. I can't preach that enough. Shoot horizontal unless you're doing some sort of Instagram intentional
story. When you're filming.
When filming.
Yes.
When filming.
When filming. And obviously for photos, you can flip it both directions. But when you're thinking of a TV doesn't sit vertically in a rectangle. It sits horizontally in a rectangle. So you have to think about that when you're filming with your iPhone. There's a thing they call the rule of thirds, which most people are familiar with, but you always want to frame your subject.
Let's treat it like people are not familiar with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to always frame your camera rule of thirds. So if you have a subject on the left side of the camera, give them some space on the right side so they're looking into the open space of the camera, right? Or if they're looking up, give them two-thirds of the space to look up into. So the rule of thirds just helps attract the eye when you're looking from the viewer's perspective, you're reviewing your footage on the computer, sharing it with somebody. That's a really important thing. And then composure, framing your shot to make sure that everything that you're putting in there, you're not framing it in some weird funky fashion. So those are kind of two super important components to always include when you're filming or photographing, I think. And you can see the difference, especially these days in the social media world. There's, you know, you'll scroll down through photos, but you'll pause on that one that catches your attention, and it's probably framed really well, and it's also got a good composite to it.
Right, right. And, you know, it's really interesting when you're talking about horizontal versus vertical. Mm-hmm. It's not too often you see a lot of vertical picture frames.
Correct.
You know, maybe for a portrait, like where it's a headshot or like a family standing together or something like that. But more often than not, a lot of pictures are horizontal.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's just a matter of preference, but for practical use, when you go horizontal, you're just going to get a lot more fill in your shot for whatever the subject base is. And I try to challenge people, when you're shooting something, imagine there to be a 360 sphere around whatever that subject is. We all, at eye height, are looking at the same thing all the time, but if you just get a little creative, and this is just a simple thinking out of the box, get down low, get up high, find a tree branch or whatever you can climb up in and shoot it from a new angle that somebody hasn't seen before, you're going to wow them on a whole different level, and it could be the same subject with a new perspective.
I totally know what you're talking about, and I actually did this one time. So when I first got my most recent phone, my kids were playing out in the street over a storm drain because we had a cul-de-sac, and there's a storm drain in the center. And they were just sitting in there like dropping sticks in and rocks. Nothing special. But I took my phone and put it on the asphalt, so I got a perfectly horizontal picture at like their knee level.
Oh, cool.
And it really, the picture like had so much more character to it rather than just two kids sitting on asphalt.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another great thing to add to your photography or videography is put something in front. We call it junk in the front, but put something in the foreground, which is in the front portion of your photo. So if your subject is beyond that and you've got a cool tree branch, shoot through some of the branches or shoot past a chair or shoot something that adds a little dimension to it, and it helps just create more dynamic and more interest to the photo or video.
Man, that's so cool. Do you got anything to add to this?
I see you in action, and I'm like, man, you're good at this. And this, and I even
you're good
you don't even put
too.
A thought into it. It's interesting hearing you speak it as if you were teaching, which is cool. I get to see it, but it's cool hearing you explain it.
Well, you have a great talent. You've got the eye for it. So a lot of people
he's talking about Tony, by the way.
Tony, yes. And you either have the eye for it or you don't, and it's still trainable, but a lot of people just either have the gift of that kind of creative perspective on how they look at things. Yeah. These guys both have a great creative eye, Johnny and Tony, and they look at stuff uniquely, and I think with the combination of all three of us, we've come up with some really beautiful different shots and content together.
I would agree.
But I think overall, from a photo video perspective, like I said, put some junk in the front, frame it right, get a nice composition of your shot. I said composite early, get a nice composition of your shot, which is just framing, thinking about what you have. If there's somebody you're photographing and in the background there's a mountain, tilt the camera up just enough so you're not cropping the mountain in the background or that tree off to the right or left. Incorporate that tree so it's tastefully framed.
Right, and you see a lot of pictures, especially on, let's use just Instagram. Let's just talk about it because that's, you know, how sure. everyone's viewing pictures all the time. You'll, like, they'll crop off, like, the middle of a hat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just looks different. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going for a real tight macro shot, mm-hmm. there's, you want that whole head in the in a picture. At least, I don't know. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Like
absolutely.
When you're looking at a picture, you feel like it was
well, like what
out.
When Clint was saying, when you're scrolling, some pop and some don't. Like, oh, average. It just tells you exactly what they're trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. And then you, ooh, that's a nice picture. What's nice about it? Well, it actually kind of tells a story because you get to see where they're at and you can put yourself into the picture where they're looking. You can kind of get an idea of the depth and all that stuff with
right.
what's popping. So
you're telling a story. You're literally capturing a story, whether it's video or photo. You're wanting to share that with somebody. So taking the extra time to frame those things the right way makes a big difference.
And so people have an eye for it, even if they don't know it, because they yes. do notice.
Yes.
When it's like, oh, that's a really nice picture. You could do that.
Yep.
And that's the point of this podcast.
Exactly.
Like, you actually can do this. Just take the time to try to apply it.
Yep. And for what I do, I'm so going back to my architecture degree, I am self-taught through the school of good old school of YouTube and anybody that would provide some information based off of questions. I still help pass along any education that I know. I tell people all the time, if you've got a question, do not hesitate to call and ask me or email me, message me, whatever. I'm happy to fill people with as much information as I can just to give back to the folks that have helped me along the run.
And that's why I think you and I connected so much is yep. beyond the concept of mentorship is conservation.
Absolutely.
It's all about you cannot outgive good.
You cannot outgive good.
Just keep putting it out there. Okay, so let's get into some nitty-gritty of photography.
Okay.
ISO, what is it, and what are some of the basic functions that you're going to need to know, whether it's a cell phone camera
mm-hmm.
or it's an actual like DSLR or mirrorless or, you know, some of those functions that you really need to understand.
ISO is a setting that's going to allow you to control a little more additional light within your camera. You'll see maybe like musician photographers, you're in a very low light setting, so they'll crank that ISO up number up. But you have to keep in mind when you're using ISO that the higher the number, the more grainy the image or the video will become. So when you do see some of these beautiful musician shots, they've got a little bit of black and white graininess to them. It's a style, but at the same time, from some of these older cameras, the ISO, you can kick it up pretty dang high now. But previously, you'd get a lot of those grainy pixels, if you will, when you're looking at an image. So that's something just to be cautious of. And when I use the ISO, I try to always keep it 200 or a little bit lower, especially on sunny days. But as you're getting towards that last light, if you're filming a hunt or something, it is your last resort to add more light into your camera to keep filming or photographing. So I try to encourage people to avoid it as much as possible, but it's a fantastic tool when you need the additional light added to your camera.
So keep it 500 or under
mm-hmm.
for sunny days.
If you can, yep.
If you can.
Yep.
And then, but being hunting that you're always filming or taking pictures, either early light or last light,
you're going to have to use some ISO. And that's your give and take on how much light you want and sacrifice for how much grain you want on your content.
Great to know. So therefore, just bump it up until you feel satisfied as the user.
Yes.
Like, can I see what I want to see?
Yes.
Okay, good. And what else? So cell phones, they have, like, let's use an iPhone because that's what I think mm-hmm. all three of us have. iPhones have portrait mode.
Okay.
So portrait mode blurs out like the background.
Yep.
What is that? And then what is that when it comes to an actual camera?
Portrait mode, great question, by the way. And portrait mode is giving you what's called a wide aperture. But if you're looking on a camera from the physical button settings, you're going to see an F4, F2.8, F5.6. There's all these different F settings. That's your aperture. It's kind of a funky thing to see an F with a number next to it and then try to remind yourself that, oh, that's the aperture. But what you're doing is the lower the number of that aperture, the more blown out your backdrop becomes. So if you're shooting F2.8, let's say I film a lot with a 70 to 200 millimeter lens, especially for archery season, I want to be able to create attention on my subject, whether that's the archer or the animal or whatever I can in that moment, the lower the number for the f-stop, the aperture, it's going to blur out everything around it. So that's where your portrait mode settings are on iPhone. That aperture is a really low number. Now, if you crank it up, let's say you go up to f11 or f8, that's typically your like most sharpest setting within the camera. So that's what people use a lot to maximize a beautiful landscape shot where you want everything in focus, right?
Yep.
So you're not trying to pinpoint something, but you want everything to be in focus. So you kick that aperture up. And then the other thing is the higher you kick your aperture up, then you might need a little compensation with your ISO depending on what light you're in, because the higher the aperture goes up, the darker your camera lens will get.
Okay.
So something to think about with fancier DSLRs and fancier cameras.
See, did you know that?
Yes.
You?
I did.
That's because you're such a boss. So, all you listeners out there, Tony, when him and I first got started, he was more or less like the video photo guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which now we're branching out. All of us will run cameras when we're out in the
field. Yeah, we all have our own.
We all can hand our cameras around to other people and still be able to successfully. Not so much Clint to me. I'm like the
Johnny will.
I'm the junior team.
Johnny will take a picture and he's like, "Dude, this is a good picture. Show Clint." And Clint's like, "Dude, this is out of focus." So Clint has given Johnny a lot of in the field lessons, and now you're actually very good. So that's
you've definitely improved.
You definitely have improved. But those are some funny conversations.
When we came back from our most recent bear hunt, and there was one pick that I was like, "Oh yeah, that's a catalog pick. That's a good one.
You nailed it.
I took that."
Sweet. But that's the fun part of it, right? So for camera, for me, people are like, "Do you hunt?" I was like, "Absolutely, I love to hunt, but I also love to be behind the camera because you're hunting with capturing that moment, and you're getting to capture it for somebody else. You're capturing a beautiful memory for your family. You're creating your own little legacy within camera settings, and getting the next best shot it's got its own addictions to it, because every time I go on a hunt, I'm like, ooh, this could be the one where we have the bear charge or we get the beautiful archery shot. You just never know what opportunity will present itself. So it's just like going gold mining. Every time you go out there, you're looking for that next gold nugget.
You're shooting, but with something else.
Correct. Yep.
You're still shooting the animal. You're just
shooting
it with
a lens
camera,
rather than.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I've got a funky imbalance funky balance, if you will. So I shoot a lot of weddings, which most people don't know a lot about me on the backside, but weddings are just another bread and butter opportunity to be able to stay in business. It's got a different type of season because you got your springs, your summers. That's when a lot of people are doing wedding celebrations. And you, Rev over here.
I'm a DJ.
You do some DJ. And so we got a side bond there. But the important part where I'm going with that is you're photographing the wedding kiss. And you don't get that repeated, right? You got to capture it right then there.
The pressure's on.
You go hunting, you got to get the kill shot. You don't get the guy to be like, "Hey, can you get that animal stand back up and shoot it again?" So there's a certain pressure and a certain stress that I kind of fuel off of, and I actually enjoy that.
Also, it's like
I like the challenge, right? Yeah.
That's cool.
I like the challenge of it.
Ooh,
so for me, I hear a lot of people are like, "Dude, I do not like shooting weddings, photographing weddings." I'm like, I don't mind it. It's fantastic practice for when hunting season comes. So
right.
I look at it from a different perspective, I guess.
Dude, that's so cool. Okay, so ISO, aperture.
Yep.
I was browsing a website the other day where a hunting gun shooting website, a guy was holding out a rifle horizontally. The picture was sharp and crisp.
Okay.
Really liked it. But now that I've been getting into photography a whole lot more, I start to dissect pictures, and the background's blurry. In between the trigger guard of the rifle was clear as day.
Okay.
And then there's a couple other spots that were clear, and I was like,
post-edited.
I was like, he used the iPhone for this picture.
Oh.
Did
that's
he?
Kind of, no, or I don't know, but that was my belief, because if you've ever taken taking a picture in portrait mode on a cell phone of someone drawing back a bow, you'll see blur all around, blown out, but then inside the strings will be like clear.
Tack sharp, yep.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's weird. Or it doesn't pick up the string or something like that.
Gotcha.
And so I was on a website and I was like, ha.
You can pick that up.
I started to pick it up. Yeah. Like,
and there's some where when I said the word composite earlier, composite, you can take multiple frames. So if you have a great tripod and you don't bump your camera, you could actually take multiple photos where close subjects in focus, far subjects in separate focus. You can kind of pick your different focal points by just adjusting your dial. Leave it in manual. You have to shoot in manual to do it. But then in post, you can merge those different images, just like the layers of a cake, right? So then you have all these different tack sharp images compiled into one. And one thing that I highly recommend somebody do out there is take your camera, flip it to portrait mode, find a beautiful landscape, and then put your settings on manual mode once you have your exposure, your aperture, and everything how you want it. And then from left to right, just like an iPhone pano, just take vertical shots, but leave about a quarter of the second photo in your frame. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So as you snap a photo, go over a little bit, leave a little edge from the previous shot, continue over, and that's called stitching. So in post, you can take that through a program called Lightroom, which is what I use. It's created by Adobe. It's very popular.
Everyone recommends Lightroom.
Lightroom is a great go-to. Yeah. But then you can create an epic scale panorama photo in a very high resolution. So if you want to do a giant poster or a billboard, that's how people are creating those specific shots. And I love to capture those, especially when you're up, you know, high elevation. You did all the work to get there.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves because editing photos is a lot different than taking
photos.
So
I have one question with the camera.
Okay.
So a lens. If someone's like, I bought a DSLR camera or a fancy camera and I want to go off of the iPhone and the stock lens that they give you is not always the best, aperture is usually super high and you want to get something that you can be proud of your shots and have a little more
aperture to it, where pizzazz. You get a little more dreamy to it.
What is a good lens that's not like $5,000 that people can buy and be like, this will basically get you through without having multiple lenses or something.
What are they wanting to do? What's their overall goal with that lens? Like, what do they want to shoot with it?
Well, so cool photography, maybe filming themselves, but also filming, say,
a subject at
a relatively good range.
Bow range, I guess, would be a good way of putting it, right?
Bow range if you're hunting an animal at the same time?
Yeah.
So I have, just to mention a couple lenses that I personally use that are just easy, you can buy them at a nice cost-effective price, and they're super practical for day-to-day use. That would be your 24-70. So if you think about the 24-70 millimeter lens, the average eye is seeing something at 50 millimeters. So anything smaller than that, you're creating a wider perspective. Anything higher than that, you're putting yourself from your 50 millimeter punching in just a little bit and getting a little closer to your subject with the zoom of that lens.
Huh. Good knowledge.
I did not know that.
If you have...
The commander.
Yeah. What we refer to as prime glass. So in the camera world, when you say glass, that's basically a lens. When I've got good glass, you've got good glass, whatever.
Like you would with
Zeiss
the binoculars.
Zeiss makes good glass. Yeah. So you've got good glass or your knockers. You've got all sorts of nicknames for your binoculars, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I can call him anything I want.
Okay. Yeah, he calls this side lefty and this side righty.
But to have a couple of prime...
That was so stupid.
I don't know.
To have a couple of good lenses in your kit is great. And a prime lens would be, let's say it's a 50 millimeter lens. It's not 24-270 with the zoom built into it.
What does prime mean?
Prime is it's a fixed dimension.
So
fixed
some
millimeter
people would say,
lens.
I have a fixed 35.
I've got a fixed 50.
So like my binoculars are fixed 12 power.
Okay.
So yes, you're correct.
My binoculars aren't adjustable like a spotting scope.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yes.
So they're prime.
Yep. The only way to change the distance in there is you've got to move your body closer, right? Because you've got a fixed perspective. So that's where you get your prime lens. But from a zoom perspective, when you're filming archery stuff and you're trying to come back to a hunter and you're trying to go out to a deer and everything, the zooms are just a lot more practical. You got to keep them cleaned up pretty good because you're in a lot of dusty environments. So maintaining that and having a nice cleaning kit with you at all times is super helpful. But if I were to recommend two lenses, I would say a 24-70 and a 70-200 are kind of the best ones to have in your arsenal for me. It's all a matter of preference. I've got guys that love a good 16 to 35 millimeter. There's tons of options out there.
I don't know what I run on my Sony, but I feel like it's a pretty decent range.
It's practical, yeah. I don't know what the...
Yours is like a 35 to 70.
Yeah, I was going to say the 24 to 70 range sounded familiar. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So...
But anywhere within that dimension, and your 24-70 is great for this interaction that we're having where you can film somebody up close, you can get some details of whatever, the gun, the hand on the gun, mm-hmm. the scope, but then the 70 to 200 at your farthest focal length, your 200 millimeter, you're getting out there and getting the animal, bringing it closer to the camera for the people watching.
And the one thing that is not clear and doesn't make sense is when... So we're talking on a hunting podcast. Mm-hmm. So hunters are used to power, 8 right. power, 10 power, yep. 12 power. Spotting scope is 27 to 50 power. That does not equate to when you say a 50 to 200 millimeter.
Or 70 to 200.
Yeah. The higher the number, the further out you're going to go, just like a spotting scope or binoculars.
But 200 millimeter doesn't equate to...
Like, I don't have a 200 like, spotting scope. You know? Like,
right.
Gotcha. That would
right.
be nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
so that's one of the things to kind of figure out. Like, you have to understand...
Your shopping lenses don't use that mindset of, oh, my spotting scope does this. Wow. That's going to reach out really far. Well, in lens world, it won't.
Correct.
And it's different.
And just to go back to the whole kit lens or the lens that came with the camera,
yep.
I just want to address this because one of the things that I am a huge proponent of is buying the best glass that you can.
Yeah.
So it's just like buying a rifle that comes with a scope. You might as well take that scope off and chuck it in the trash can because that's not going to do the job. It might do the job for your first year, mm-hmm. but the minute you know actually how to run your camera,
you've outgrown it.
You outgrew it.
Yep.
And so just from the time that you know how to shoot your gun.
Invest right then rather than spending X amount of dollars.
They say buy once, cry once, rather than buy multiple times and keep paying multiple money.
Yeah.
Like, yes. And so. I would say from a budget perspective, just to kind of give another option to that is buy what you can afford. But the more important thing is that you're able to capture and tell a good story or a good visual picture. Don't focus so much on how fancy your glass is until you can justify the splurge for it. And as soon as you can, by all means, it's never going to hurt to do some upgrading. But it's more important to get out there and practice with it and to get good at using the equipment first. Then you're naturally going to upgrade.
Nice. I like that. Okay, so we covered ISO. We covered aperture. Mm-hmm. Is there really, like, those are kind of the two really big ones.
Shoot manual.
And learn how to shoot manual.
Learn how to shoot manual because then you have full control of your settings. So everyone, the first thing you do, you're going to start in auto settings. You can't help it. It's a new camera. It's a new
shoot
whatever piece of equipment you're using. But if you can get yourself trained to shoot in manual, you can control your focus easier. You can control your light easier, and you just have a lot more capabilities to quickly put it right where you want it and treat the camera like an extension of your hand as you've gotten your time invested into it.
Now, one thing that I do not know my camera very well, you need to learn your camera like you know a keyboard.
Yes.
Where you can type without looking at what letters you're typing.
Right.
You have to learn the buttons of your camera. That's something that I have yet to do, but I don't think anyone ever told me. Mm-hmm. And so I never like was intentional to learn, okay, this gets me here quickly, bam, bam, bam. You know?
Yeah. And I see it when Clint runs your camera, for instance. He doesn't know yours as well. So he'll be, fiddling around with the camera. Where's this? Where's that? How do I get to this setting? Like he's lost almost. Then he obviously figures out and finds it. But that's goes to show, like, if you can know it and boom, 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 you know what you're doing and you get the shot as opposed to, oh, man, I missed it because I couldn't get it in focus or I had the wrong lighting or whatever, you know.
And that's just practice of repetition to master any craft that you do, right?
Right.
If you're behind the scope and a gun, you're not going to be a good shot if you don't go to the shooting range and practice at that target.
Yeah.
Same with the camera. You just have to get comfortable with the buttons, challenge yourself to go out and shoot. I would always just kind of create a topic for myself. Hey, I'm going to go try capturing some nice landscape shots today. So
yeah, I always try to take pictures of my wife. I'm like, hey, babe, you know, like, I'm just kidding. All you listeners out there, that's just a joke. My wife, sorry, Megan, but
portraits. You're trying to get portraits.
Yeah.
Just nice smiling portraits.
Pet portraits. you know, like, but no, but for reals, it's hard to, people are like, what is taking so long? Just take the picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like.
You've never said that to Clint.
I've never, because he's the commander. You've said that to me. Like, are you done yet?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And dude, I'm just getting the shot.
And your response should be the same response I have for everybody that's getting a little impatient. You will thank me later because you captured a moment that right then they may have not wanted it. But later when they said, oh, that was a really cool shot you got, you're like, you're welcome.
Okay, so let's talk. I have a couple questions. And then, Tony, whatever questions you have, feel free to jump in. And these are pointed more towards video.
Okay.
All right. So there are – wait, no. Is it video? No. Okay. The first one is a photography picture.
Okay.
Photography picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, this is a rough podcast, guys. Sorry about that.
Why? We're all learning.
I am obsessed, and I love how people can get the pictures of – someone waving a light and it's like one stream. It's like the whole on 4th of July when you have a sparkler and you can write your name and you can see it. How do you do that?
Long exposure photography. So for long exposure, you got to change your settings a little bit, right? You got to kick up your aperture to a high number and that's going to darken your frame, but it's also going to allow your shutter to stay open longer. So it can get a little more technical. This is where my buddy Grady always says, Google that stuff. He says, Google that stuff. GTS. But if you have a question for something regarding long exposure photography like Johnny's talking about, there's tons and tons of great YouTube resources and Google resources to find those. But it's a little more complicated and technical to try and just explain it over a podcast.
So we should do a podcast specifically for long exposure.
Yeah,
that's going to be really interesting.
You almost want to make a nice video tutorial on how to do that. Otherwise, you'll complicate people.
Maybe Revel Entertainment should do that for their
Revel
YouTube
Entertainment.
Channel.
Maybe how
we
to.
Should do that. But that is how you get the beautiful star, the long star exposures. People can write stuff with a flashlight and do some creative things there. That's
like
painting
America,
with light.
Like, will you marry me?
You can go crazy.
Yeah.
And the...
I did it.
Photography, the definition is painting with light. So there you have it with your long exposure.
You should have led with that.
Stuff.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so all you listeners, you didn't get anything out of that.
Nope.
But Google that stuff.
You'll figure it out.
Okay, one thing that I know about when I watch YouTube, because YouTube is pretty much ruling the video world of hunting.
I thought Carbon TV was.
Well, it is going to be Carbon TV, especially as soon as our show hits the air, which we're going to be talking about at some later point. We're keeping that one in the bag here for a little bit. However, when I watch YouTube, if I want to watch a specific hunt, we're in the state of Washington. So if I say Washington mule deer hunt, I don't care really how good the quality of the video is per se to a point.
Yes, definitely.
But I do care about the audio. If the audio sucks,
it'll change your whole story. All the footage is kind of, it's hard to watch bad audio footage.
Yeah.
Really hard.
You agree?
I definitely agree. And right now, we're filming with two cameras. We have two Rode shotgun mics. Is yours a mini Rode shotgun mic?
Micro.
Micro?
Yep.
But Rode makes a great shotgun mic. It's kind of a nice entryway to get started with collecting good audio because your built-in camera audio settings, scratch those. Don't even worry about it. But if you can just invest in a decent Rode mic, it's a great starting point.
And you can get a Rode mic for $100, right?
For pretty reasonable price. Yeah, I think maybe entry level,
like,
$100.
There's an entry level next to that one.
$100 to $500, you're getting some great audio for shotgun mics.
Yeah.
But then you're going to start getting more technical where you're doing wireless mics. So when you watch a lot of high-end TV shows, you'll notice sometimes, let's say it's a outdoor adventure show, you happen to see like a battery pack on someone's back that's taped to them or sticking through their t-shirt a little bit. They're mic'd up. So you get this really clean, crisp audio, but then it allows them to leave the camera at whatever distance that equipment allows.
And you're still picking it up.
Because if you turn your face away from a shotgun mic, and it's only pointing in one direction, it's not going to capture the same tone of audio, same octaves of audio as it would if I had you wireless mic right now.
Right. And then also you have to worry about wind, which we deal with because you're filming outside all the time.
Yep. So you can put a windsock on, dead kitten, whatever you want to call them, but they're
dead cat.
It just, you know, the old dead cat cover.
The dead kitty.
That'll help. It's got some hair fibers in it that'll help reduce the wind, but it's not going to change it completely. So it's just deterrence for trying to get better audio.
So talking about audio real quick, our fellow friend and teammate at Washington Backcountry, the Trash Man.
I love the Trash
Man.
Dude, he keeps it super trashy. And for all you listeners out there, he actually works at a dump. So it's not like...
That's where his name came from. We're not dissing him.
We're not
like
just
when you call me Two Shot.
He's good with people.
You actually take two shots at animals. But getting back to the Trash Man is like, hey guys, I'm going to get a camera. I'm like, okay, sweet. That way you can up our video and photography game. So he ended up buying, I think, like a Canon Rebel. But
I don't remember
he didn't.
Which one, but
I don't remember which one, but it didn't have an audio input that you could just do a 1/8 headphone jack.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, if you guys are looking to get into the video recording game and videoing hunts with your camera, that's one thing to really keep in mind is to make sure that it has an input so that you can actually attach a external microphone to.
Good mention. Yep, yeah, that's great.
So I know, like, I film with. We're recording this podcast with video, so for the people who watch this, I have a Sony Handycam, which shoots 1080p. It is not the best quality as far as, like, we're not going to TV production this, but as far as, like, YouTube videos, you know, if you go to Washington Backcountry's YouTube channel and you watch the bear hunt that the Trash Man and I did, we filmed that all with this Handycam and with a cell phone.
Okay.
That was all we filmed it with the entire time.
And so when you say what you can afford,
what
use
you
that
afford.
And get out.
And then
that's just a standard handy cam, point and shoot, big zoom. You can get animals up close. You can get you talking to it. Like, you can do a whole video with that.
We pack that in our pocket all the time as, like, the Mayday lens, or if we split into two, we don't have two long lenses.
Or
so if you need
if someone needs a quick shot on an animal from
far
enough away, it's like,
you have the opportunity to do that because it's more important to tell the story than to not capture it at all.
A Mayday camera, that's funny.
I like that.
That's good.
The one issue, though, with this is that it doesn't have an audio jack.
Right.
Gotcha. So the audio is not going to be the best with this. Horrible. It works great when you turn it around on yourself because you're speaking directly into the microphone. And you're close. But the minute that you want to pick up somebody at a distance, you're not going to get anything from.
And I've used the GoPro 5 a couple of times. I've got it in one of those jaw clamps. I like to clamp it onto my tripod leg, and it gives me just another perspective to get the person that's maybe shooting on the fly. So you can recap. You're like, what did I do wrong? Was I sitting upright or whatever? But the audio isn't that great for a GoPro 5. They've dramatically improved since then. But those are just things you have to keep an open mind for is, I'm going to film you with this, but don't talk to the camera. Wait till you get the nice mic'd up camera.
Right.
And it's great for what we call B-roll. And B-roll is all of your nice fill footage. You get somebody that films the leaf. They film the leaf. They film a foot walking by or the detail of a gun scope. You're getting B-roll, and that helps keep the story moving without the primary subject talking and telling you everything.
Right. And if you watch Full Draw Film Tour this year, there was a video, I think it was video 3, where it was these three dudes who were kind of making a joke about filming a hunt.
Okay.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Tony. So
it was a video unlike any video I've ever seen on,
like,
Full Draw.
I was like, how did this actually make it into Full Draw? No offense, guys, if you're listening to this podcast, great hunt and
it
great
was hilarious.
Content.
I actually laughed.
But I didn't get it at first.
Yes.
I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They could have hat-tricked
deer.
Elk.
Or elk, sorry.
Elk. They killed two, and a third one.
A spike came out, I think.
A spike came out,
and
the
then
dude
the
had
guy,
a tag for it.
The guy did ended up not shooting it. He ended up getting a great bull later in the season, but,
okay.
But they could have
they
hat-tricked
were within,
all within
yeah.
like a half hour.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
It was nuts.
Yeah. So like that was like, okay, I see why I made it in the film tour, but the video led in with what they were like mocking.
Yeah.
Like,
you got to really, have the walk by.
The
you
walk
gotta,
by.
You got to have the slow motion.
Yeah.
The creek crossing.
Yeah.
You got to have the landscape.
Yeah. And most film submissions, things are on an epic scale, right? So you got to really pump up the music. You got to have the great voiceover, the slow mo shots.
Yeah.
That's what makes it kind of fun on the film side. But I can get where they're
so
making
they
fun of that.
So they weren't wrong.
No.
They were. All of those things are in every hunting video.
Yeah. I guess it was maybe the way he was narrating it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, because he was narrating goofy. It. The yeah. walk by as the guy walks by.
It was goofy.
Yeah. Anyways, great hunters. Interesting.
Oh, it
film.
Was awesome. I liked it.
But the one thing I want to just encourage people is if you have children and they're not hunting with you, video your hunts.
Or absolutely. Fil-
or take as many pictures as you can. God forbid I come home without an animal. But if I don't come home with an animal, at least I can show them everything
this
else.
This is where I've been.
You can show them the excuse of why you didn't get an animal, right? And then they can help you critique it so you can get better.
Totally.
Or you do like I do. I get my son to film for me, and then you got your own camera guy with you.
That's cool.
Just kidding. He's only 5.
He works for free. Gummy bears and Oreo cookies.
That's all you get, son.
That's it.
And Kool-Aid. I love it. Tony, are there any questions that you have regarding videoing or taking pictures?
So I would only add for the people who want to self-film their hunts.
Okay.
Have you ever done that? And on top of that, what if someone is self-filming and they want to up their game or just be, you know, be better at it? What are some tools they can have that you could be like, try doing these because I've seen them filmed and I would recommend this or that?
I would say from self-filming, just know in advance that you're going to have to take the extra hard steps because you're playing the hunter and you're playing the camera guy. So you have to be able to have, you're going to want to have a good tripod so you can set some camera up in certain locations. You don't want to just flip the camera and be in selfie mode with your arm extended in every shot. That's going to cheapen the quality of your footage right there. Great to have some interaction doing that. But if you can get your camera on a tripod, figure out, this is where manual's essential because then you're picking your focal length. You're having a specific area that you're focusing on. So when you come and walk into the camera, you then know that you're going to be in focus and not have to shoot it 10 times. Be like, dang it, I'm out of focus.
Yep.
So good tripod to be able to create some visuals where you don't always have to have the camera stuck to your hand. And then do some extra creativity. Do the, like we were saying, do the walk-bys. Get some details, set the camera on a tripod, lift your gun up. But you have to still tell the story. And I always say shoot wide, medium, tight. If you're going to shoot something, shoot it 3 different perspectives. Do a nice wide shot, get in a little bit closer, and then get up real close to show some of the detail. So you're drawing the visual audience right into what that subject is or the person. Or you'll see a lot of times there's a guy, let's say he's hammering a nail. You got the tight shot of the hammer and the nail. Then you got a medium shot of the guy's face and his eyes, and then you have a wide shot of the whole subject. You're like, oh, now I know he's putting some roofing on or something with the hammer nail. So you're creating that story with wide, medium, tight shots of everything that you shoot.
I like that.
That is good.
I like that. I do want to say this, and this is a tip that I learned from the great Jana Waller.
Okay.
Of Skullbound, because she's awesome.
She is awesome.
She is a great.
So if, yeah, she is a great. Jana, you're my hero. Thank you for everything that you've done, and thank you for introducing me to the commander.
thank you, Jana.
Yeah. So she, by the way, in November, she killed an absolute monster whitetail. Did you? I don't know if you've seen it on her social media.
I didn't get to see that one. I did see the fantastic
bear.
She's an
absolute killer.
Okay. So
I saw the fantastic bear that she had posted.
So she was on her family's property right before her dad was going to sell it.
I did see this one.
For the last hunt.
I take it back.
And it's in the snow, and she's in a tree, a blind, and just waiting. And just this monster whitetail walks out.
Yep, I remember now.
She smokes it. She's solo. And if you look at the picture she took with that deer, I was like, wow, who took that picture?
Yeah.
She ended up telling what she did on social media, so I'm sharing this with everyone who didn't hear it. She said, when you go to take a picture of yourself with your animal, instead of taking a picture and like checking it and then taking a picture and checking it, she goes, film yourself.
And take a screenshot.
With it, and then screenshot the frame that you love.
It's a great tip.
And then use that.
Yep, that's a fantastic tip.
Yeah, shout out to Jana.
Great tip.
You will lose a little resolution if you need it to be bigger. But because she masters the social media world with that,
yeah,
that is all you need, and you can take a great screenshot. That's perfect.
All right, so
great idea.
To wrap this up real quick, because we don't want to have this go on too long, and we understand that there's a lot more we did not cover.
Of course.
Your goal as a photographer, you've had pictures in magazines, you've had your pictures on websites and different stuff like that. What's your goal as a photographer?
To get the next golden nugget.
Yeah, but where do you want it at?
Where do I want it at? Oh, yeah. That's
and I'm not talking. I'm not saying like where in the world. Like you want your picture to be on what platform?
Where do I want it to be on what platform? As far as
let's say your next golden nugget.
Like when
what
you
does
take
that
a
look
picture
like?
Of me, where do you want my face to show up at?
Oh man, I wouldn't mind seeing your big beautiful face on a giant poster at one of our trade shows.
Yes.
That would be cool.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then I can look up there and just be like, see that smelly guy?
Yeah.
Took that shot.
See that? That's a soulful picture right
that's
there.
That's about him, but I took that shot.
Yeah.
Johnny's like, see that face right there? That's my face.
it's always rewarding when you get to take a photo that somebody appreciates it enough to do something with it.
Yeah.
Like you said, seen it in a magazine, it's just super special. You recently had a great magazine article.
Yep.
And thank you for putting one of the pictures I took in there, because that was it's a compliment to me, the fact that you chose one of those images. But there's some pride there for you to be able to be like, hey, here's some cool things that have happened in my life, and there's some cool images that complement it.
Totally.
Overall, it's not about me, it's about the person in front of the camera that I'm capturing. That's my story to tell, and that's the fun part of me getting to share that with people. So I just eat that up. So if I get somebody that's going to put a picture up on a big billboard or slap one on socials and they give me a shout out for it, I'm like, awesome. I'm glad they love the picture. Super appreciative of it.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so to wrap this up real quick, how can people find you? Where can they get connected with you at if they want to hire you? Because you do freelance work, both videography and photography, all of that. Like if some Joe Blow off the street was like, I want to film my hunt, but I don't want to film it myself, they could hire you to do it.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
If you're available and dates work out.
Everything aligns, yep.
Give everyone your contact.
So my main social media page, and this is a team page for us, is Revel Entertainment. So at REVOL Entertainment would be our Instagram handle. You can direct message us on there. And then more of my personal page, but it's still public. I just kind of throw whatever's taking place on there, show some of the family, is Peak Photography, P-E-A-K Photography. So on those two Instagram handles, if you direct message me, you can find me all day long on there.
And if you go to Revel Entertainment, that's the money. That's where you have branded since 2020 and really we're doing it.
Yes.
If someone hired you, they would be hiring Revel Entertainment.
I try to run everything through Revel Entertainment, yes.
Yeah.
And what is Revel?
Revel, short for revolutionary, but you want to know that it's spelled lover backwards.
That's all I wanted to know. Is it Revol?
Revol. Revel. You can pronounce it however you
lover
want
backwards,
as long as you remember.
Baby.
Yeah.
Lover backwards.
I love it.
But revolutionary, you're changing the game.
That's exactly right. And the other take on it is I wanted to shorten the word A so it's a little bit easier to use for branding. And it's not on Google. When you go to try and search revolutionary, you get all sorts of stuff. The word revel isn't actually a word, so when you look it up, it's going to be a lot smarter to have
that
for Google Analytics, and it'll keep it easier on the top as content starts to grow.
Yeah, kind of like wabackcountry.com or soulfulhunter.com.
Yeah, no. No.
Stay soulful.
Stay soulful. Stay soulful. I love it. Okay, anyone who is interested in getting into more detailed information, this is an insider tip that Clint, Tony, and I, along with a lot of other people, are going to be running mentorship weekends coming up in 2021.
Yes, we are.
And within those mentorship weekends, we are going to be covering how to hunt, like digital scouting, shooting, tracking, how to pack for hunts, but also we're going to be covering, there's going to be a session on
all the photo and video your heart desires.
Yep.
I will teach you whatever I can in the amount of time you got.
And we're going to be delivering that and a lot of more information on that, probably more towards the month of November, December. But just give you a heads up, if you're interested in getting hands-on education on how to get into hunting, how to take photography and video to the next level and all this stuff. It'll be a Soul Seekers weekend, and we're going to be blowing the world up with Soul Seekers coming up.
Yes.
So I can't wait to share that with everyone. Tony, anything? Any last words?
Just the end punchline is all I'm waiting for.
Oh, yeah. Clint, any last words?
I'm just grateful to be on here. Thank you so much for having me and for hosting this conversation and letting me kind of use the platform to get some of my branding out there and spend time with you guys here in the awesome garage at Johnny's house.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Hey, guys, you have to go check out and hit the follow button on Instagram for Revel Entertainment. If you love hunting, fishing, outdoor pictures, dude, Clint delivers. He is not only the man, but he's also the commander.
That's right.
And there's a reason why he earned that name. So
thank
go,
you.
Go give him a follow. Go give him a like. You have a YouTube channel. This podcast is actually going to be up on your YouTube channel.
Okay. Yeah.
This episode.
Snippets of it at least.
If you look up Revel Entertainment, Instagram, Facebook, website, and YouTube channel, you'll find it all with that simple tagline right there.
I love it. Make sure to go give them a follow. Check it out, everyone. Freedom on. And as always,
stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.